You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
On February 11th, 2011, a young man named Tom Pickles took a photo of something in Lake Windermere. Since 2007, people have alleged that there's a monster in the lake. Was this the creature? Today, we talk with paranormal investigator Haley Stevens about her research into the mysterious case of Bo Nessie.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
We have reached that magical time of the year when listeners to skeptical podcasts are all inundated with tales of TAM, the amazing meeting hosted by the James Randi Educational Foundation in Las Vegas, Nevada. TAM 9, aka TAM 9 from Outer Space, is going to be held July 14th to the 17th. You can go to the amazingmeeting.com website for more details, but the main thing you'll probably want to know is that a special workshop on investigating monster mysteries is being held on the 14th and will be led by the hosts of Monster Talk, featuring me, Blake Smith, Ben Radford, and Dr. Karen Stolzno together in person. I hope you're able to make it. We'd love to meet you, and hopefully you'll find the presentation interesting, entertaining, and, of course, monstrously fun. We've got some really interesting interviews coming up soon featuring real and imaginary monsters. I'm really, really excited about what's coming up in our interview schedule. And speaking of schedules, I mentioned before that there would be some slight changes to the show's format. Those are on the way, and I hope you find them fun and refreshing. Today's show is brought to you by listener Robert Smith, whose kind donation helped make this episode possible. If you'd like to hear your name mentioned on Monster Talk, please use our donate button, which you can find at monstertalk.org. Today, we'll be talking with Haley Stevens about her investigation into the most recent photos of the creature known as Bo Nessie. Haley's a paranormal investigator and the co-host of the Righteous Indignation podcast. Let's get to the interview.
Monster Talk.
Haley, you've got Blake, Ben, and Karen on. And since you're already familiar with the episode or the show,
with the episode,
as you already know how this is going to turn out.
That's right.
If only.
Haley, I always think of you as one third of the hosting power behind the Righteous Indignation podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so I welcome to all the listeners of, or I guess the Indig Nation, who might be tuning in to hear your interview. And Haley, you are a independent investigator.
That's right. Yes.
And what else can you tell us about your background?
Well, I started out in paranormal research in 2005. I was only 18 at the time, and I kind of formed my own group at the time. And I was a bit what people would say woo, and I kind of developed
woo.
A bit woo.
Okay.
Probably very woo, actually.
Okay. Very good.
I'm not going to tell you how woo because it's kind of embarrassing. But I've
we need to know now.
Well, it kind of involved like chakras and seances and things like that. It was pretty bad.
Very, very
in
woo.
Your investigations.
Yeah, sort of. It was just through the association with other researchers who who were kind of that way inclined, and I just had no idea. So I was just like, yeah, I'll go with this. And then a couple of years later, I kind of realised that I might be barking at the wrong tree. And I became a lot more rational in what I did. And a few years down the line, I've started up something called BARSOC, which is the British Nominalistic Research Society. And that's basically a collection of independent researchers across Britain who kind of just work on different cases. Mainly it's media stuff at the moment. So any cases that are reported in the media, we kind of try and offer a rational stance on that. We're pretty new.
Do you have the same sort of situation in the UK as we have in the States with thousands of ghost hunter groups?
Yes. I don't know if it's thousands. It could be. I know that a friend of mine who's involved in the Association for Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena, she recently started counting how many groups she could find online that are still active, and she stopped at about 200 and something. It was just too depressing for her. There definitely are a lot of groups, but I don't know of an exact number, because a lot of them don't have websites. A lot of them just have like Facebook groups, or they're just like groups of friends who do it as a hobby, you know, and pay like 10 quid a head to go to the local haunted buildings and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely a hobby.
And find ghosts, of course, for 10 quid.
Of course.
That's a bargain, frankly.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking to you today specifically about, and I even hate to say it, Bow Nessie. Why do they call it Bow Nessie?
One of the towns on Windermere is Bow Ness on Windermere. And so it's kind of like a cross between the name of Bow Ness on Windermere and the nickname for the Loch Ness Monster, which is Nessie. So Bow Nessie.
Which is actually, that's pretty clever if you know that it's Bow Ness on Windermere.
Yeah, if you don't know, it's Bow Ness on Windermere, it's a bit random.
It really is.
Before, they called it Windy, the lake monster.
Oh.
But then it was Bow Nessie.
Oh, that's like, cute.
Yeah.
So, Hayley, how did you get interested in Bow Nessie?
Well, it was kind of weird, because normally I only research ghosts. That's kind of what I know more about. And Bow Nessie has been around probably since 2006. And I was kind of aware of it from about 2007, which is when one of the first expeditions on the lake took place. But it wasn't something I was majorly interested in, but I knew of it. And then the British psychic Dean Maynard got involved in the case, and my interest kind of peaked a bit more, mainly because on the Righteous Indignation podcast, we like to kind of cover what Dean's up to. He's kind of like one of our favourite psychics to make fun of, which is probably cruel, but, you know.
Nemesis. We all have to have nemesis.
Yeah, exactly. So I came more aware of what was going on, and I was watching his coverage of it, because I think he's local to the area that the lake monster has been seen in. And then he did an expedition, and then it all kind of went a bit quiet. And then earlier this year, in February, a photograph kind of exploded in the local media of Windermere, and then the national media, with this photograph that this guy called Tom Pickles had taken. That showed like a humped thing in the water in front of him in a kayak. And people were saying that this was the Windermere Loch Ness Monster, basically. And that's when I took a real interest in it, in the photo. And I just went from there all the way back through the whole case, really.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back and talk about what are some of the reputed characteristics of Bow Nessie. As you probably know, I mean, some lake monsters said to be, you know, 200 feet long and have spikes on the back. Some of them have glowing red eyes. What are the main characteristics of Bow Nessie?
Well, it's reported to be between 12 to 50 feet in length, depending on which eyewitness you listen to. Some say that it can jump in and out of the water. So there was an eyewitness who they were going along in their boat, and they claimed that the Bow Ness monster was jumping in and out of the wake behind their boat. And following them as they went down the lake. It's also been reported to look like a dolphin or a seal without fins. And some say it also looks like a giant eel, and it's scaly and like a silvery grey colour. It's also got bumps on its back, three or four humps, depending on who you talk to. And the strangest characteristic is that it has a head like a Labrador dog.
Oh.
There you go then.
Where did that come from?
Weird. It comes from Lyndon Adams, who he took the first photograph of the monster before the Tom Pickles one. I think this was back in, it was February 2007 when he took his photo. And he claimed that it had, it appeared to be 50 foot long, and that it had the head of a Labrador dog, according to the media that spoke to him, which was quite random.
Wow.
It was all kind of like standard monster. Like, it was long, it's like really long, and it looked like it was moving fast through the water in a straight line, and it had the head of a Labrador dog. And that bit kind of just stumped me. I was like, wow, that just throws it into its own.
Well, actually, can I just ask a quick question of Ben? Is that a common thing, or are there any precedents for a hybrid lake monster?
Actually, that's a good question. The Champ Lake Monster, which I've done, of course, a lot on, along with Joe Nickel, that one also had been claimed to have a head like a Labrador or various other dogs. Ogopogo and some of the other Canadian ones haven't, but certainly Champ is the main monster that jumps to my mind that had been had a sort of a canine head to it.
I was going to say, there's a rather famous picture of Nessie, which some people say is actually a Labrador carrying a stick. But I actually had the chance to see a much better quality photo of that image, and it by Mike Dash actually sent that to me, former editor of the Fortean Times, and the original image, or like the much more clear image, doesn't look much like a dog at all. It's kind of interesting. So yeah, you know, but you know, this is another thing here. We're talking about humps in the lake. We're talking about something with humps, and so far, as near as I am aware, as far as I'm aware, maybe Ben, you might have more to say about this, but we don't really actually have any known real world animals that have humps in the water like this. Not alive today,
except for aquatic camels.
Well, right, except for the aquatic camels, and but this is in England, and most of those are
clearly
or in New Jersey, so
yeah.
also random. No, I was gonna say the like serpents. You know, sometimes people imagine that snakes might undulate to the water, but they tend to swim laterally, not dorsally, like that. And of course, Joe Nickel is fond of talking about how that a common reason you might think you see humps is because it's really multiple animals like otters swimming in a row, which apparently they do. Mm-hmm. Just kind of interesting, but these humps in this photo don't look much like otters to me.
No, they don't, do they? What was quite interesting about this one was that people were openly skeptical of it from the very, very beginning. You know, people that I consider to not be that skeptical or rational were calling that it was a tire, and that was, you know, entirely plausible from the start. It's like, yeah, it does look like a tire that's been cut to kind of create the four humps when flattened out.
Entirely plausible?
Entirely, indeed. and then a tire was found next to the actual lake that had been cut to make that shape. Now, I don't know if that was the tire that was used, or if it was just a tire that happened to float past the guys in the kayak at like the wrong time and they thought it was a monster. Or it could have just been a tire that was put there to then kind of frame those guys for a hoax. I don't know. But when they put that tire in the water, it did look very much like the supposed monster in the Pickles photograph.
So were you able to get photos of the tire in the water?
There are. So I think it's on the Barsock website, barsock.org. You can see a photograph of the tire submerged in the water, and it's kind of just, it's the spitting image, really.
Nice.
Either that or the lake monster disguises itself as a tire.
Sneaky, sneaky.
And you just mentioned the public opinion as being a little bit more sceptical than you'd expect. Was that the case? People, I guess the media, were they sceptical, or the general public, were they sceptical?
I think the general public was sceptical, especially of the Pickles photograph. The media, they were kind of, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate. But when the tire was discovered, the Westmoreland Gazette, which is the local paper in the area, they reported on that quite openly, that this tire had been found and it was a possible hoax. I think it was more public opinion that was kind of a lot more sceptical of it being a monster.
Mm-hmm. Well, Haley, I think we're. I wanted to sort of not jump ahead too much. Can you sort of take us back to? Because again, I think all four of us, have seen the photo quite a bit. I did analysis for it for a website, and we've all seen it. But mm-hmm. a lot of our listeners, they don't know the story, and they haven't necessarily seen the photo. So can you sort of take us back to what Pickles said? Sort of describe a little bit of the photo, and what was the story behind it, and then sort of bring us up to your investigation.
Sure. Well, the photo was taken on February 11th, 2011, and it was Tom Pickles and his colleague, Sarah Harrington. They were in a kayak on the lake. They were in the area on like a team building weekend with their company. And they were about 300 metres out on the lake, and they claimed that this thing swam past them and that it glided across the lake in front of them, leaving a wake behind it. And you can see the wake in the photograph. And they said that it was the size of three cars, and it looked like a snake. So it was scaly, like smooth but scaly. And then Tom managed to get his mobile phone out of his pocket and take one photograph of it before it disappeared. And that's the photo that everybody sees. And then they went back to land because Sarah was too scared to be out on the water.
Yeah, it's amazing they only got one photo.
Yeah, you would think, personally, if I saw something a bit strange, I'd try and get more than one shot.
Do they have any explanation for that? Or?
No, they don't. I don't think it was something the media questioned them on. I have tried to get into contact with Tom, but I haven't had any response, which was something I wanted to ask him. But
what's the deal, Mr. Pickle?
So there weren't any other photographs, but were there any other sightings, any copycat sightings?
Not of the monster that they saw, but I think 5 days later, a couple who were in a hotel near Lake Windermere, they could see the lake from the hotel room. They did say that they saw something with humps, but they were inside their room at the time. And they just checked into the hotel room about 4 p.m. and they were looking out the window, or the husband was looking out like the veranda doors, and saw something about 300 yards into the lake, and said to his wife, "It's the Loch Ness Monster," as it had humps. And to begin with, they thought it was just like a buoy, like a strange-shaped buoy or some kind of a boat in the water. And it wasn't until they were in reception the next morning and picked up a copy of the local paper and saw the story about Tom Pickles' photograph that they decided that they'd probably seen the Bo Nessie monster.
Well, what about any actual investigations on the lake? I mean, did you or anybody else try and locate the exact place in the lake where this photo was taken, or was that part of the investigation?
Nobody has done an expedition on there since the Tom Pickles photograph. I know the CFZ have done two expeditions down there. The first was in 2006, and the second was in 2007. And then there was one done by Dean Maynard in 2009, and then there was a follow-up one done in 2010 by Dean Maynard. The results of the Dean Maynard expedition, I can't find. I asked for a copy of his reports and his conclusions, because all he's got on his website is like a summary. Mm-hmm. And I was denied any more information on his expeditions because he's writing a book. But regarding the Tom Pickles photograph, nobody's actually been there to try and replicate the photo from the same spot, or to see if they're, what the causes could be. It was something that we were considering doing, but it's quite a way to travel for me. But maybe it'll be something I do over the next few months.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That is the Center for Fortean Zoology.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Cool. Yep.
Yeah, well, just for our American listeners. Both of them. Yeah, actually, I will obviously we'll link to your research on barsock.org because you did a great job. And I like your photos where you're showing that there's several places in the lake where it could be taken. There's lots of little places where the islands are very similar. And I see what you're talking about as well with the split tire in the water. I actually had seen that photo. I'd forgotten about it because my brain is broken. So also this is your site's one of the few that I'm aware of where you can actually see the uncropped photo.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Luckily the Westmoreland Gazette, who are basically like the Windermere newspaper, in the local area there, they managed to get a copy of the photograph, the full photograph, and they published it, before the Daily Mail, contacted Tom Pickles and bought it from him. So now it's copyright. And nobody can get a copy of it to examine it, which is what we really, really wanted to do. The Westmoreland Gazette really wanted to help us, but they've got their hands tied now because they're not allowed to pass it on because it's copyrighted to the Daily Mail. So, but we were able to get the full-size one from their website.
Do you think it's just a retread of Loch Ness?
Is that a serious question, though? I don't know as much about Loch Ness as I do about Bo Nessie, which is probably really sad on my part, but... Yeah, I think there are similarities there, definitely.
So I just wanted to ask about Tom Pickles. We were laughing beforehand and about the name and thinking that it sounded very Dickensian. It almost seems like a fake name. Do we know if that's his real name at all?
Well, apparently it is. It's the lead character in the cartoon Rugrats. I don't know if that's if you get that in America. But over here, there's a cartoon called Rugrats, and Tom Pickles is the lead character. He's a baby. So I thought it was a fake name. But actually, it turns out he is a real person. I've got his email address, and I got that off of the Windermere reporter, and I tried to get in contact with him, but I had no reply from him. But one day, I accidentally invited him onto Twitter. You know how you can do like a recommendation? And I was like, oh, no, what have I done? And then he joined. So it's definitely a real email. I presume it's his real name.
Well, I have to say, you know, when I first analyzed the photo, one of the things that jumped out at me at first was that the story that I was reading about the photo didn't seem to match what I was seeing in the photo. One of them being that, as I recall, he claimed that the photo was taken while he was in the kayak. And from my perspective, from my analysis, which, you know, I certainly could be wrong, but it looked like the perspective was all wrong, that it must have been taken much higher than just, you know, being, you know, just a few feet above the water. Did you find that, or?
Well, I also thought that as well. And I mean, my brother, he's like a kayaker. So he also, I asked for his opinion and he agreed that it wasn't like a photo taken from like sitting in the kayak, and to stand in a kayak would have been pretty tricky. So we thought maybe he might have put his hand in the air and taken the photograph. That's kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, I think. But it definitely did look like it was too high in the water to be taken whilst in a kayak, you know, in like, in a kayaking stance. And if he grabbed his mobile phone very quickly and only managed to take one photograph, you would presume he wouldn't have been able to get to a higher position to take the photo. But it definitely did look like he was looking down at the water from a much higher perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange photo if you think about it. I mean, in the kayak's not visible in the photo, so you don't see the prow of the kayak, which would imply that he's turned sideways to take the picture. But he also takes it in portrait mode instead of landscape, which gets the monster all the way to the right-hand side of the photo instead of centering it. It's really odd. It's a very odd photo. Now, it could be that he tried to click it when it was centered and then it kept moving before the camera actually took the photo, which I unfortunately, you know, that happens to me all the time with things in motion. And there is a wake, so I mean, it's moving, but it could be towed. And there is that mysterious dark blob.
Yes, you've seen the blob as well.
On the right-hand side.
Yes, we questioned that, like, in a private discussion at Barsock. We couldn't agree if that was something that could be pulling it But obviously we didn't have the original, so we couldn't blow anything up or really look at it without it getting really pixelated. But we did consider that it could be something tugging the tire along.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. It doesn't look like any known animal. And, you know, that's one of the things as skeptics we always look at. Does this animal have a history? I mean, if it's like Nessie, when we did our plesiosaur episode, you know, a lot of people think of Nessie has this sort of swan-like neck. And then it turns out, well, for people who thought it was a plesiosaur, at least, that's not how plesiosaurs behave. Their necks were actually straight out in front. They didn't bend up like an S. So what kind of animal could this be? It has to pop into existence with no evolutionary history. So because there's just nothing like that I'm aware of.
I was just going to say, I've spoken to an ecologist who's worked on Lake Windermere for 20 years, since 1990, so actually 21 years. and he said there is nothing in Windermere that looks like, you know, with the humps, nothing that looks like that. And there's nothing of that size in the lake. His name's Dr. Ian Winfield, and he was quoted by, I think, the Daily Mail as saying that it could be a catfish. But he actually said to them that the only thing he could think of is that it could be a catfish, but there are no catfish in Windermere. So there's certainly nothing naturally occurring in the lake that could make that kind of shape or could be seen as being that large.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I could actually see in the full uncropped photo, there's three islands actually that you can see. You see the two on the right, and there's something off in the distance that's a third land object. I don't know if it's an island or not. You can't really tell that. But you can see the buoys. And if the buoys are fixed in position, you could tell how far the buoy is from the island and then gauge, to some extent, the size of the creature.
Yeah. I'm up that area.
But I doubt it's... there's nothing about that looks like it's the length of three cars.
No, that was... what kind of, when I saw the crop version, I was like, okay, there's nothing really there to distinguish the size. But when you see the uncropped version, where you see the longer bit nearer the photographer, you can kind of see that it's probably a lot smaller than you originally think it is. And size is definitely something. I mean, I'm up in that area of the country in June, so I'm hoping to go across to Windermere, and I'm hoping to find a tire and see if I can kind of maybe, I don't know, judge the distance. And yeah, using the things in the background as a measuring tool would be probably a good way to start.
Yeah, it's tricky. I've done a lot of work on Bigfoot photos trying to figure out the size of things. And it's tricky since you don't know how far you are from the objects in the distance. But you can tell some things, like, well, if the objects in the distance are a certain width apart, then it's got to be less than that, right? You know, so, I mean, it tells you something. You learn something, if not exact measurements. I was going to say, there's lots of triangulation methods you can use to kind of get better information. But water is such a hard thing to work
with.
And
also, the big problem with the photograph is that we're not actually 100% sure where it was taken. I think it's probably the two more central aisles, but potentially it could also be what are called the Lily of the Valleys, which are more to the left of the lake. So I think if I do go up and I can't work it out, I'll probably have to use both islands, which means a lot of time on the water.
Hopefully the buoys will still be there, right? So that hopefully you'll be able to find configuration that matches. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
That's a fun project.
Yeah.
And you could wear a life jacket. The water's dangerous.
And there's a monster.
I think there'll be a sequel to this story. But I was just looking at the Telegraph article by Nick Collins, and it just mentions that Mr. Pickles works for an IT company. So I'm wondering if that's a bit suspicious.
People have suggested it could be a fake, or he may have doctored it or something like that. I did try and track down the IT company. It felt a bit stalkerish, but I worked out, well, it says where he lives. And I tried to find the IT company in that area, and maybe I was going to like phone them up and see if they had a Tom Pickles working for them and hope that I didn't sound too weird on the phone to see if I could get a hold of him. But I had no luck.
That's one thing that really strikes me as being, you know, incredibly suspicious about this is that it's not an anonymous photo, but it's pretty damn close, because if he's just going to release this and then and then, you know, do one story and then essentially shut up about it and refuse to comment about it or even say where he took it. I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, this is, it's just remarkable to me that you know, if this is genuine, then why wouldn't he just say, yeah, this is exactly where this happened, or his companion Sarah. I just find the silence of these two, people to be very, very suspicious. On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely do you think this was to be a hoax?
I would probably put it at about, what, with 10 being likely?
Yes, 10 being virtual certainty, you know, at least as certain as skeptics get, and 1 being like, oh my God, there must be a monster there.
10 is the Georgia Bigfoot.
I think the Georgia Bigfoot. I think it's probably like an 8 or a 9, but I'm probably too kind. I've suggested that, you know, it could be that a tire was just floating past them, but then it was the whole free cars. It was the size of free cars, and I just wonder, was that because they're making it up, or were they misremembering it, and were they that scared that they thought this tire was a monster and they just remembered it as being bigger because they didn't want to sound stupid? I definitely think it's very, very likely it was a hoax, but I've got that kind of smidgen of doubt that it could just be that they were petrified by a tire.
Well, that's my preferred explanation.
Is that
they were just terrified of tires. Yeah, in fact, there's a new film coming out. I think it's called The Tire or something. And it's literally about a tire that kills people. And I think that Mr. Pickles would probably shit himself if he saw this film, because he clearly is terrified by tires.
Has a fear of tires. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That movie looks better than it should. I just want to say that movie looks pretty scary, man.
It's actually a real movie.
And the trailer is hilarious, I have to say, because they kind of take that sort of, you know, that sort of camera view you get when you like in a horror film where you're getting the eye of the killer, and you're sort of like you're getting the viewpoint of the killer. They do that only you're the tire, and I don't know if they could do 90 minutes of it being that funny, but it looks pretty funny. It's better than Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, at least in the trailer.
There you go.
Wow.
How timely.
I'm not sure. What a measuring stick to guide by. Better than Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's all right. So stories like this tend to go on a cycle.
Jesus Christ, Blake, please.
Do you find yourself tired of telling the story?
He's on a roll today.
You're trying
Karen,
to
jump, jump in any time here.
Oh my God. All right. I do like this. I really appreciate your research, though, and I look forward to you getting out on the lake and taking a serious look. And you know, I find myself in that same funny position. Sometimes I'm looking into something, and most people are like, yeah, that's not real. Just move on, right? But it's fun as a skeptic to dig in, use your skills, and try to find the exact right answer. Definitely. Even if it turns out to be, you know, they were towing a tire, you know, well, then you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I was just going to say, with regards to it going in a cycle, this case has been really weird. It's completely all over the place with the dates and the sightings and stuff. And it kind of looks a bit suspect, but who knows?
And just in looking at the article a bit further, they mentioned Mr. Pickle's companion, Sarah Harrington. So do we really know anything about her or anyone else that was involved?
There's a photograph of the pair of them that was taken by a paper covering the story of their photograph. That's all that we know about her, and that she was scared by it, and that she thought that the thing looked like a snake and she wanted to get out of the water. That's all we know about Sarah Harrington. And really all we know about the pair of them is what's in the newspapers. And the only way that I could find out if Tom Pickles was a real person was to speak to a reporter at the Westmoreland Gazette, who said, yeah, he is. I've spoken to him. And yeah, that's it. So unless it's like a huge, huge elaborate hoax and the newspaper in on it, then I think they are real. But I it's just bizarre because you can't find them anywhere. I mean, I even like stalked them on Facebook to see if I could find them there. And
that's a common name too.
Yeah, yeah. And I tried to narrow it down with the area they live in, and I just can't find them. It's really bizarre.
Well, for what it's worth, here's my take on it. I think that Tom Pickles, if that's indeed his name, and Sarah, I think they met like in a support group for people who are scared of like tire and rubber products. And they support each other and like, you know, it's okay. It's just rubber band. Oh my God, no. So then in order to like, to have this team building thing, they went out on this lake and they saw this tire that was clearly going to eat them or do something nasty to them. And they photographed it as a way of sort of displacing their fear. And they're putting this out there. And so that they want to make sure that the rest of us realize that, that tires can kill.
It's an elaborate theory.
I think it looks like it's a game of Clue. It was Tom Pickles in Windermere with a tire.
Colonel Mustard.
And that's... I do see the photo you're talking about. They look rather grim, don't they?
They look really, like, scared. Like, yeah. So it's, like, had a profound effect on them.
What, but are they scared because they just did a hoax and they're afraid of being found out? Or are they scared because they just saw a tire in the water?
Well, they're kind of scowling at the camera. So I'm imagining...
They are scowling.
The photographer's
gone
look really concerned, and that's what they've done.
Oh, you think it was staged? Gotcha.
I don't know.
I'm going to paste you. Yeah, posed is the right way.
Yeah.
like their picture's a hoax, too. Like cardboard cutout people. Wow. Well, Haley, we'll put a link to your work in our show notes.
Sure.
And obviously, if you're able to get some more details, more conclusive details, I should say, because I think you've done a great job.
Yeah, the research is still ongoing at the moment. The bit that I'm kind of focusing on now is the first photograph by Lyndon Adams, and I'm trying to get him to send me, because he claims that it was analyzed by a forensic photographer, who and that to him is proof that it's a monster. So I'm trying to get the forensic analysis to see if I can see what it says it is, and take it from there. But
he's to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
Woo!
And
that's my sound effect.
Haley, we always like to ask our guests, what is your favourite monster?
Right, yes, I know this one, and I couldn't decide on one. I was going to say the werewolf, basically, just because I live in an area of England where there could totally be werewolves. But I also didn't know if, like, really, really fictional monsters applied, because I wanted to choose house elves as well.
Ooh, there you go. But, yeah, I like
that. Yeah.
Well, I
could use a house elf.
You cut out.
You're sort of cutting out.
House elf. Thank you. House elf. Okay, cool. Sorry. My audio cut out right at that point. I was like, what?
Mine too. I did.
Ben and Karen liked it, whatever she said. So.
Well, I just think if you're going to.
That's from Harry Potter.
Yeah, if you're going to have a monster. I don't think they're necessarily monsters.
I know you know. I was telling Ben and Karen.
Yeah. No, that'd be cool. Do you have to feed them or do they eat?
I think they probably do. But I just think it would be nice to have a useful monster rather than one that's just really elusive.
A useful monster.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Rather than one you keep
in the
cupboard.
Dobby to,
yeah. Yes.
I prefer Dobby to creep. No, you keep Harry Potter in the cupboard.
And the house elf.
Have you, no, honestly, Karen and Ben, have you actually read Harry Potter?
I haven't, I'm just starting to see the first movie. I've watched about half of it.
Oh, don't watch the movies. They're terrible.
I'll get around to it.
Books are so.
I have not. I've only read the slash fiction, but not the books themselves.
And it is great, isn't it?
Get around to it.
So I'm wondering if we can squeeze one more pun in.
please. I just ate.
Thanks to your work, Haley, we've got Tom Pickles over a barrel.
Oh, well.
That was not actually bad. That was not as bad as usual.
Good.
All right. Thanks so much for your time. And thanks for giving us an award, because now that you see what the show is really like.
Yeah. I've seen behind the curtain.
It's great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Monster Talk.
Today on Monster Talk, you heard an interview with paranormal investigator Haley Stevens about her research into the creature known as Beau Nessie. Monster Talk is brought to you by Skeptic Magazine and is hosted by myself, Blake Smith,
Ben Radford, and Dr. Karen Stolz know. In today's episode, we briefly talked about a movie about a killer tire. That film is actually called Rubber, and a link to the details for the film are in our show notes. You can follow Monster Talk at Facebook, a link to which is on our website at monstertalk.org. We'd love to have you be our friends. Monster Talk's theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. Thank you so much for listening.
To stay abreast of the latest from Skeptic Magazine and the Skeptic Society? Want cutting-edge skeptical articles delivered straight to your inbox every week? Then subscribe to eSkeptic, the free electronic newsletter of the Skeptic Society. Visit skeptic.com to sign up.
Oh, God. Thank you, Haley.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.